What difference does it make? Believing is important. It's an essential step in our foundation. But if believing doesn't lead us to action, if change does not follow belief, if we are not influenced and shaped by what we claim we believe, then what good are our beliefs? We believe, but what good is it? Core beliefs or core subjects of our belief should result in core actions. I believe God's Holy Spirit lives in His children. What difference does that make? In 2016, a study by Ligonier, I think that's how you say that, Ministries, they discovered that 69% of Americans believe that there is one true God in three persons, which I thought was a pretty high percentage for America. That 69 Americans believe that there is one true God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. However, so it's 69%. Only 27% of Americans agree that the Holy Spirit is a personal being, not just a force. So they believe in the Trinity, the three persons of God, and yet when you single out the Holy Spirit, a large majority believe that He's just a force, that He's not a He, that He's a it, a thing, a force, a presence, rather than a person. And this matches a Barna study that I had researched years ago from 2009, where 58% of Christians, not just Americans, but 58% of Christians believe that the Holy Spirit is a living force, not a person. And so on a subject like this, I'm like, wow, you know, we're looking to get to action. But there's a belief issue here as well. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He's not just a force. He's not just an influence. He is a he. He's a person. And so that's what we have to get that before we can even move into any kind of action, that it is God living in us. It's not something subtle. It's huge. It's big. And all of us who have been baptized into Christ, we're told that when we're baptized into Christ, we receive forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus spoke very plainly about the Holy Spirit, that he needed to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come to us. And told the disciples to wait for him. And when they did, the Holy Spirit came on them like tongues of fire. And they started speaking all sorts of different languages, sharing the gospel in these languages of all these people that were gathered there at Pentecost. He was a powerful presence, a powerful person that comes and lives inside of us. Now, there are a ton of scriptures in your bulletin this morning. If you look down there, you'll see a bunch. I had an extended amount of notes, so Joe, I had to go through what you went through for your sermon. When Joe gave me the notes for his sermon, I was like, we're going to have to cut this back to fit into the bulletin. So if you would like an extended version of what's in your bulletin, then email me, ask me whatnot, I can print that out. I went ahead and saved that separate so you can see where each of the verses that are listed there, where they connect with different parts of what I'm going to be talking about today. So I mentioned that because there's a ton of references that I'm going to make to Scripture. Please take this bulletin, take it home, spend some time in it this week. I'm not going to read all the Scriptures that are in there. I'm going to mention them on the fly. Take some time this week, slow it down, read these verses that are there. They are awesome. They are powerful verses on the Holy Spirit. And just get a holistic view of what the New Testament says. And that's not even an exhaustive list. But it gives you a good something. Sit down and read them. Meditate on them. Take one or two in the morning and then just think about it all day long while you're at work, while you're, if you're retired, while you're doing, your retired people stuff, which is basically work. You just don't get paid for it, right? Is that what you do after you get retired? After you retire, you're still on the go and doing. So take some time and spend some time in there. So here we go. First note in the bulletin. We live with a holy conscience because of His holy presence. We live with a holy conscience because of His holy presence. Titus 3:5, one of my favorite scriptures on the Holy Spirit, states that the Holy Spirit washes and renews us. His work of washing us, his work of renewing us, he's always working at this. He's always working. We're always being made more pure, more holy by him. That's what he is doing to us. He is washing. It's not that he washed. We've been washed in the blood, and the Holy Spirit is washing today, tomorrow. Every day we're with God. Every day we're in the kingdom. The Holy Spirit inside of us is working. And he's working to make us more holy, to make us more like him, to make us more pure. And that should change things in how we think. If we're attentive to his work, his holy presence inside of us should produce a holy conscience as we think about more pure things, as we think about holiness. How can we be washed and renewed and not let that affect our inner voice, our conscience? This doesn't make sense. We believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. What difference does it make? It should change how we're thinking. 1 Peter 1:2 mentions the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Titus 3:5 and 2 Thessalonians 2:13 talk about how the sanctifying work of the Spirit is directly connected to our salvation. The Holy Spirit sanctifies. This is this process of washing, renewing, making us more holy. And the Bible's very clear that this is directly connected to our salvation. This is a core subject, a core belief, a core concept for us to understand of what's happening inside of us with God's Holy Spirit. At the end of John's gospel, John quotes Jesus four different times. They're right there in your list of scriptures there, about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as our helper, or depending on what translation you're reading, it can be translated helper, it can be translated counselor, it can be translated advocate. They all mean the same thing. They all come from the same word. For Jesus, he uses this word. Let me make sure I don't mess it up. So, parakletos. And Jesus says, this is who's coming. It's him, parakletos, the counselor, the advocate, our helper. For Jesus, that word is synonymous with the Holy Spirit. That's how tight it is for Jesus in the Holy Spirit's purpose in us. This is what he's coming to do. If he's our helper, he's who we go to for holiness help. To help us in our struggle against sin, to help us to make the right choices, to help us in becoming more pure. If he's our advocate, if we look at that translation, then we lean on him for holiness support, to give us that support, the encouragement to keep pushing forward, to do the right thing even when it's tough to do the right thing. If he's our counselor, we look at that translation of the word, then he's who we turn to for holiness advice. What do I do here? I'm kind of in a pickle. I'm really struggling with this. God, help me. And it's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us in that holy conscience that we should have because we have a holy presence living inside of us. So what good is it to have him living inside of us if he's not affecting our conscience, if our conscience has not been changed, if we're not being affected by his help or his help or his advice or his support? We live with a holy conscience because of his holy presence. And this makes a difference in our choices and our decisions. Let's write that down. This makes a difference in our choices and decisions. This is where it shows. This is where it becomes visible that our conscience is listening to the Holy Spirit's help, advice, his support. We see the Holy Spirit sanctifying work in us through our choices, through our decisions. This is the difference it makes. We see the Holy Spirit's help in the decisions we make. We see his counsel in the choices we make. We see his support and the actions that follow those choices and decisions. If we claim that we believe that he lives inside of us, and nothing changes about our decisions or our choices, then does that belief, does it really mean anything? We believe that God's Holy Spirit lives in his children. What difference does it make? We avoid things that go against God's Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 talks about how the Holy Spirit can be grieved through our actions. We can make him sad. Nowhere in Scripture have I read that God's Holy Spirit steps out of us when we're making stupid decisions and then steps back into us when we're making good decisions again. That's a huge thing for me when it comes to personal guilt and holy guilt, I believe. Because I know that every sin, every bad decision I make, I drag God through it with me. He said, I'll never leave you. Jesus said, I will be with you always. And so when we take him through those bad decisions, when we do things that go against him, it saddens him. It grieves him. And we need to really connect with that if we want to see our conscience changed. If we want to see a difference in how we live, we need to understand that we are not to do things. We are to avoid things that go against what he would have us to do. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about how the Holy Spirit's fire can be put out. It can be quenched in us. This happens when we do things that he does not want us to do, when we're involved in evil things. We're to avoid that. Things against his holy nature living inside of us as his spirit partners with our spirit to make us holy. We must avoid things that go against God's Holy Spirit. If we don't, then what difference does it make that he's living inside of us? So we live with a holy conscience because of his holy presence, and we live with the holy attributes. We live with holy attributes as he leads us. And Autumn, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm very glad. I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about Tony, and they're not here, so I'm going to tell Tony to go and listen to this. Tony is another person that was just recently baptized into Christ, and I was thinking about you guys when I was writing this sermon, because I was like, man, this has got to be exciting. They just got the Holy Spirit, like just weeks ago, and now you get to hear about all these awesome things that he does for you and through you. And you know, I've got a list on my wall of 50 things the Holy Spirit does for his people, all attached to Scripture, and it's awesome. I look to that list for encouragement. So right here, we live with holy attributes as he leads us. Both Romans 8:14 and Galatians 5:18 talk about how the Spirit leads us. And as we follow his lead, we gain these holy attributes from his leadership. That should be the natural progression of it. We follow him, he leads us, and we gain these holy attributes. Now, the two passages of Scripture that I want to be reading today are kind of lengthy. They're kind of hunks of Scripture because they have a lot of stuff in them. I was going to pull little things, and I thought, you know what? Let's just give the whole hunk. So this first one's from Galatians 5, and it'll get to a famous part of Scripture that you guys are familiar with, the fruit of the Spirit. But he says a lot of stuff before that, and he says a lot of things after that that are connected to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's pretty simple, Paul says. You just follow him. You follow his lead. You walk by the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to worry about the things that will distract you from your walk. You're not going to do the things that would grieve him. You're not going to do the things that would quench his fire. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the Spirit desires what is contrary, or for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. I'm so used to saying patience there. So the new NIV has forbearance. So kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit will show holy attributes of God's Holy Spirit. Came across an article, golly, I don't know how many years ago, on qualifications for an elder in the church. And how we go to Timothy and we go to Titus and we say, well, an elder has to be this and this and this. Here are all the things that are listed out. And the guy that wrote the article, he said, you know what, we're missing something. He said, we really need to use Galatians 5 also. Because an elder can be a man of but one wife and not partake of alcohol and not be harsh and not do these other things, then he can do these things, but if he doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit, do you want him leading the church? Do you want him in charge of overseeing the church? And that article was such an awesome thing. I sent it to our elders, and I was like, man, this is good stuff. It's so important. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Christians, we should be full of love and joy and peace. And you can see in multiple places in the scriptures, and I don't think I included all of these in the scriptures there that you have. There are a few of them where you can see the Holy Spirit directly connected to these individually in other places. That God's love was poured out to us in the presence of his Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit gives us joy. That we have peace because of the Holy Spirit living in us. Patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those things, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you have heard me get up on a little soapbox. I should have brought a little dove box I could stand on there. That soapboxes aren't what they used to be. It doesn't really elevate you much when you step on a little, you know, little cube cardboard dove box there. A lot of people say the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit. You get it all. It's all. And it's his attributes living in you that come out in us. And that should be evident. We have Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And if that's not transforming us into these attributes, then what good is it for us to have him in us? What good is it for us to say that we believe, to be among the unfortunately, smaller percentage of Christians who believe that the Holy Spirit is in us and is a person, if we're not living with these holy attributes that he brings to our life. And these things aren't impossible. Paul's like, there's no law against these. You just follow the Spirit's lead. You keep in step with the Spirit. That's what you do. And you won't have to worry about these other things. The Spirit is transforming us, and we gain these holy attributes, and we gain a holy image through this transformation, because we are told in Scripture that we are being transformed into the very image of Christ, the author of life, transformed into the image of Jesus. And these holy attributes of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we live this way. We live in a way that imitates Jesus. That looks like Jesus. Because these holy attributes it's how Jesus lived. You take the fruit of the Spirit and you go and read any of the four Gospels. You read all four Gospels. You're going to be able to check every one of those off as you look at the life of Jesus. Love, yes. Joy, yes. Peace, yes. Patience, goodness, yes. faithfulness, self-control, kindness, check, 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 check. And we're told that the Holy Spirit's transforming us into Jesus, into his very image. And we see this happen through these holy attributes as they pour out of our life. As we keep in step with the Spirit, it will make a difference. Let's write this down. This makes a difference in our life direction and how we live that out. Does it mean you need to change jobs? No. Unless the Holy Spirit says it's time to change jobs. Then you follow his lead. But life direction, it's our focus. It's what's important to us. That changes our life direction. And we change not only that point we're shooting for, that goal that we're looking at, what's important to us, but we change how we live, how we get that way, how we do everyday activities. Changes because these holy attributes are pouring out of us because his Holy Spirit lives in us. This reprioritizes our life to line up with God's priorities. This reprioritizes our life to line up with God's priorities. If the fruit of the Spirit is displayed in our life, then our life will naturally conform to the life that God wants for us. His priorities will be our priorities because the core of God's holiness lives in us. And we're just following his lead and gaining these holy attributes. And we're living. We're living like we're supposed to live. Jesus said, I came to give life and give life abundant. And some people miss out on that. They're saying, you know what? Jesus promised this, but I'm not seeing it. Well, you believe in the Holy Spirit. You believe he's living inside of you. What difference has that made? Because if it's made a difference, you're going to live. The Holy Spirit is life in us. And you keep in step and you're going to live the way you should be living, the way you ought to be living, the way life was meant to be lived. You look at the life of Jesus. You look at the life of Peter and Paul and some of these, you know, just amazing people in Scripture. Lydia will bring in some ladies. And you see what they do. Priscilla and Aquila. And it's just because, and I'm not minimalizing what they're doing, But the how is very simple. They just follow the Holy Spirit. He leads and they do it. He has attributes, holy attributes, and they let those shine. And when they're doing so, the other things, the acts of the sinful nature, the flesh, as Paul calls it, it's not going to be a concern. It's not going to be on your radar because you're going to be so concerned, so focused on keeping in step with the Spirit. He's a spiritual pace setter. You mentioned Indy 500. Okay. You got the pace car. Spiritual pace setter. And I tell you, he will slow down as slow as he needs to let you keep with him. Slow jog, a little walk. The church, I will guarantee you, you will not be able to outrun him when you kick it into gear. And your life is living like you should be living. And these attributes are just pouring out of you. And your life just reprioritizes. And all of your priorities match God's priority because you're following the Spirit. And you can push that and push that and put. And there's no red line. There's nothing too far. There's nothing too hard. There's no acceleration too much that he can't keep up with you. We're the ones that hold that back. So open it up. Open it up this week. Believing in the Holy Spirit is one thing. But what makes a difference is when we allow him to influence our lives. And we learn how to live from him. And he has influence over what's important to us and we reprioritize. Another difference that we experience through the Holy Spirit is that we live with holy gifts as he manifests himself through us. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit and the holy gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us, these charismatic gifts. And it's through these gifts that he manifests. I love that word. I'm glad the new NIV didn't take that word out. He manifests himself. The Holy Spirit is seen through our gifts that he gives us. To the holy gifts he gives us, that's how the Holy Spirit is seen. That's how he makes himself known to the world around us. That's how he makes himself known also to each other. When we see him through gifts of other Christians, we are encouraged because we see him, not just the person holding the gift. We see the source of that gift, the Holy Spirit. And we use these gifts, these gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. In Scripture, we're told they're to be used for unity and they're to be used for maturity in the whole body, to unify us and to help us to grow up into Christ as one man, as one body. See, individually, we house the Holy Spirit. But we also house the Holy Spirit collectively. As one spirit. I think that is somewhere else in my notes, but it seemed to fit there. We'll see when it pops back out again. We each have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I think that's cool. And when we zoom out and we look at our church body, we all have the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we have his Holy Spirit. And we don't just have parts. You know, Roger just didn't, he didn't get this part of the Holy Spirit. And then Terry got this other part of the Holy Spirit. And then Brian got this other part of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm on the left side. So that's the goat side anyway. I'm joking. But, you know, Llewellyn has this part of the Spirit. No, it's not that. Every one of us have the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, not in part, in whole. It's amazing to think about that. It's kind of mind-boggling, you know. He lives in me in full, and he lives in us in full as one. And when we think about how can we be divided? How can we see anything move or rock or disturb us when that's our focus, when that's our understanding, when we say, you know what, this is the Holy Spirit living in me. And we see that through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As Paul talks about the body, that we have different gifts, different parts of the body, and we all serve, we all do our different things, and we come together and we form one thing, and we see that visibly in the unity of the church. When I'm using my gifts, and you're using your gifts, and we see the church elevated and lifted up and maturing, we see that unity because we can't do the things that the church should do on our own. And so we follow that. So we zoom out from us to this church. Then we zoom out, church down the road. The church is in the area. And guess what? They don't have a different Holy Spirit. They don't have a different part of the Holy Spirit. They have the same Holy Spirit that's in us, that's in me, that's in you. And they have it too. Let's zoom out even more. This is fun. Those Christians worshiping down in Haiti. Let's see, when did they get started? Walt, about 3 hours ago? They got about 2 or 3 more hours to go? 2 hours before us. Yeah. So I can guarantee you, something's going on down in Haiti at Living Water right now, and they're worshiping God, and they're doing it with one spirit, the same spirit that's in us, and I love, that's awesome. Salonique and I are connected through God's Holy Spirit right now, though we're thousands of miles apart. Jay Henry, not quite thousands of miles apart right now, but all the Christians that he has shared the gospel with in India, and he has run across the border to baptize them and then back into his territory. They have the same Holy Spirit that's in me, that's in us, that's in you. It's just amazing to think about that. Safa in Egypt and all of the Christians that are worshiping there. One spirit. One spirit. I think it's awesome. So he is singular, one. So we should be singular, one. The Holy Spirit brings unity. And we see that through these gifts. Not only unity, but he brings maturity. Our gifts should help each other to grow. We should see a difference. And if we don't, then what good is it to have him in us? What good is it to believe that he lives in us, to believe that he gives us gifts, if we are not seeing those gifts do things great in his church and helping us to mature and helping us to grow? It's directly connected to that. Second passage I want to read this morning is 1 Corinthians 12. I already mentioned it. And lots of really cool stuff in here. Starting in verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but there is the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each, and here's where this word shows up, to each the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts. But all its many parts form what? One body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of many, of one part, but of many. We understand this. We truly believe this about the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so when we do, when that does make a connection, the difference that it makes, this makes a difference in our partnership and involvement with God's church. When we see this is one of his core purposes in our life, to bring unity to the church, to bring maturity to the church, for all of us to act with all of our different gifts that the Holy Spirit's given us. When we see that, the difference that it makes, the difference that we see, is it makes a difference in our partnership and our involvement in God's church, working together, serving together, taking care of each other. How can we not do that? If we understand that this is one of the Holy Spirit's core functions in our lives. And then last today, we live with a holy assurance as the God of eternity lives in us. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of our eternal existence with God. He is described as a seal in Ephesians 1:13. Not what we saw at SeaWorld. A seal. A seal. I don't want to get into a discussion about tattoos, but one of the thoughts I've had was it would be cool to have a seal designed. Like you'd see a stamp or something, and just have that right over my heart on my chest. And have this scripture and inscribed in that, sealed by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to distract you guys if that made you think about bad things or controversial things or whatever, but it's just the concept of that idea that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, much like how you see an official document and it has a stamp there. It's official. There's authority attached to that seal of ownership. Back in the old days where the kings would take a letter and they would take their signet ring and they would push it into the wax to seal the envelope closed. It showed official, this was from the king. The Holy Spirit is described as a deposit in 2 Corinthians 1:22. A deposit. Both Romans 8:16 and Galatians 4:6 tell us that the Holy Spirit confirms with our spirit that we are God's children. And this makes a difference. This makes a difference, not just in the assurance of our hope, but it makes a difference in our worldview. It affects how we see the world around us, that we see souls instead of people. We see souls that are bound for eternity, not just people we bump shoulders with, or people that are annoying to us, or people that we like or enjoy being around, or whatever. We change our worldview because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, because we have this assurance of an eternity with God. It opens our eyes to look and see the world around us, that our world is full of souls that will spend eternity in one of two places. See, not everybody has the hope that we have. Not everybody has the assurance that we have. And our worldview should change. Our worldview should be affected by this understanding. Not just an excitement and a joy of our personal assurance. There's a place for that. Victory in Jesus. You guys like that song. You're singing out on that one. I forgot to put my ear monitor in, so I don't know what I sounded like, but you guys sounded good. There's a reason for that joy, to be excited about the victory we have in Jesus, but the assurance that we have of his holy presence, his eternal presence living inside of us, should also open our eyes and help us to wake up and see the world around us in a different way, that not everybody has that hope. Let's write this down. This makes a difference in our worldview and our outlook on life and death. When the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples, what did they do? Acts chapter 2, what did they do? They started sharing the gospel of Jesus. And at that time, each their own language, through a miraculous gift of speaking in different languages, speaking in tongues, not something that we see a lot of use for now. And we have a lot of people that know languages. We have the Bible that's been printed in all sorts of different languages. But going back to just the look at the overview of that, what did they do when the Holy Spirit entered them? They started sharing the gospel. Jesus had said that the Holy Spirit would come into you so that you would be my witnesses. That's the purpose of God's Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we can be his witnesses. See, church, if we really, really understand that the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, and it affects our conscience, and it changes the way we think about things, and we live a different way, then that's going to witness to other people. People are going to see Jesus in us. They're going to see the Holy Spirit in us as his gifts manifest, as people see the church united and maturing and growing. They're going to see something that doesn't happen normally. People don't naturally get along. I'm sure I don't have to say that to us here. We have families, we have church, we go to work. It's not a natural thing always for people to get along. But when we have a supernatural unity among us and we see the church cohesive and working together, people are going to notice that. That's going to be a witness in and of itself. And when we live a different way. These holy attributes just pour out of us. And people see in us real love, unconditional love, real joy that's not shaken or moved by whatever our life situation is or circumstance. Real peace. That no matter what's going on, we have this peace. And I tell you what, people notice that. And that's a witness that the Holy Spirit is giving me this peace. The Holy Spirit living in me is giving me this assurance that I am connected to God, that I am God's. And no matter what happens on this earth, I know where I'm going. And it changes our view. So that sharing what we have is so important. Because not everybody knows Jesus. Not everybody has this assurance that we have of the eternal hope of living with God forever. And so the Holy Spirit living inside of us, what difference does it make? Man, it should cause us to be God's witness everywhere and anywhere we go. That's what Jesus said. He will come into you and you will be my witnesses. Right here and right here and right here. To the ends of the earth. That's what we should be doing, church. That's the difference that the Holy Spirit makes. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for your Spirit. Unfortunately, it seems that he is often overlooked. Underappreciated, and we don't connect with him the way that we should. Father, I ask that today would be a wake-up call for us all. Father, that we would follow his lead better, that we would keep in step with him, that we would allow him to transform our mind and the way that we think about things, that our conscience would be changed, that our outlook on life would be changed, that our choices, our decisions, our behavior would be changed. Thank you for not leaving us alone. And Jesus saying, you know, I have to go so that you will receive the Holy Spirit. And the disciples had no clue what was coming their way. And oh my goodness, what an awesome, awesome, awesome gift that your genius mind thought of. To come and live in each of us and also live in all of us collectively. Thank you. May he make more of a difference in our lives than he already is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, oh man, awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. I love sharing about the Holy Spirit. And it oftentimes seems a little weird, like as a preacher, you know, because when I'm talking about God, I'm talking about God, my Father. I'm talking about God, the creator of everything. And I'm part of his creation. And I'm a child of God, and I'm sharing about God. When I talk about Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my King, that I'm just a sinner that's been saved, that I'm a servant in his kingdom, that I'm a member of his kingdom. Well, when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, it's kind of weird because he's how I talk. If I'm not preaching by the Holy Spirit, then I need to shut my mouth. So it's kind of interesting on Sundays like today when I'm sharing about him, that he's sharing about himself and I'm just doing my best to stand out of the way. So he's speaking to you. And not only that, but this whole mind-blowing thing of how he talks and or how he's present in me and present in you, he's talking to you. While he's talking through me, he's talking to you in you. And so scriptures or different things that are mentioned or something that happens, then the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you in the middle of the message. While he's still speaking through me, and he's probably speaking to other people. It's just amazing. Yes. I just think it's awesome. I just want to share that. I don't know, maybe I lost you guys in some confusion there, but I just think it's really cool. It just feels like a different plane, and I love it. And sometimes I just really do. I think we forget about the Holy Spirit in our lives. There are multiple places in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, where we see that God's people forgot about the Holy Spirit living in them, that they resisted the Holy Spirit, or they watered it down, or they were trying to do things on their own or trying to go their own ways. And the Holy Spirit's what they were missing as far as listening. It's not that we're missing Him. He lives in us. It's listening, it's obeying, it's being attentive. And oh my goodness, I didn't even touch on a number of different things that He does for us. I just touched on a few this morning. I had to be very selective. Otherwise, it'd be like a Haitian sermon. So this morning, just simply, I'm going to have to move up there and grab my guitar. But during this next song, I picked it because it's talking about the Trinity and how beautiful that is. And so as we sing these words, as we share this song together to God, I want us to think about that and the blessing of the Trinity and how attentive we are to that.